We now bring to these microphones once again from out in the Philippines, where David James has been ministering for the last couple of weeks. He was there for a pastor's conference, and they focused on the gospel, and that the true gospel, the biblical gospel, has been under siege with false gospels that are being propagated upon the world today. And we had a great discussion last week on that particular issue. This week, we're going to be talking about a subject that is dear to the heart of David James, because he has just finished at the Word of Life Bible Institute in the Philippines teaching God's plan through the ages. And in just a couple of days, he's going to be coming into Shreveport, Louisiana for the School of Prophets, Louisiana Baptist University Prophecy Conference, and he'll be teaching that subject again. And I think several other times this year he'll be in different locations teaching this very important subject. David, I hear that you had pretty much of a great time out there with the students at the Word of Life Bible Institute in the Philippines.
Yes, I did. It was it's really a great class. For the first time, we had all of the students combined together. There are two different years they have in the Bible Institute, and all of them came together to take this particular course. The staff wanted them to all sit in on it.
Well, that is great. That shows the importance of this particular subject, looking at the entire Word of God in an overall big picture approach. In fact, let me start with that kind of a question. The concept of looking at God's plan that is relayed to us throughout the entire Word of God, I wonder, can you shorten that up and maybe in a sentence or two tell us exactly what that is all about?
If we look at the Scriptures and consider God's plan through the ages, both in history and even from eternity past into the future, we could say that the theme of his program is establishing his kingdom of righteousness, God establishing his kingdom of righteousness. And then everything else fits under that main theme, and especially as we see from Genesis chapter 1 through Revelation chapter 22.
Well, and that, in fact, would be what I would suggest as well as a great summary sentence to talk about God's entire plan throughout the ages. But there are going to be many people, David, that'll say, well, salvation, redemption, bringing the man to Jesus Christ through what he has done on the cross for each and every one of us would be the main theme. How would you respond to that?
Well, obviously, it is an extremely important and one of the central themes of Scripture to bring man back into a right relationship with God. But if you think about how the Bible lays this out, the plan of redemption actually begins with a promise in Genesis chapter 3, and then it's fulfilled when Jesus comes back to the earth with the church in Revelation 19, and then you have the Great White Throne Judgment in Revelation 20. So you've still got to deal with two chapters before that in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and then the last two chapters of the Bible, where at the beginning, redemption isn't necessary, and at the end, redemption is complete. So what do you do with those four chapters? So I think the plan of salvation actually fits within and under the bigger topic of God establishing his kingdom of righteousness.
And of course, the only reason Jesus has not come back, and I think we mentioned this last week, he's not slack concerning his promise, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, but not willing that any should perish. So it is his heartbeat, but he has an overall big plan. David, I've heard you often refer to this course as a panorama of God's plan from Genesis to Revelation, which is basically what you have been saying. Why is it important that someone have this perspective? Aren't all the details of the Bible most important?
Well, the illustration I sometimes use to explain how important this is to think of a 5,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, and it's laying there on the table, and you can pick up all the pieces and examine them, but imagine if you tried to put that puzzle together without having the box that the puzzle came in and the picture in front of you. Trying to put that puzzle together, even looking at all of the details and understand how they all fit together and relate to one another would be almost impossible. And so understanding the Bible is much the same way. If we have the big picture, then we understand when we read the details how they all fit together and fit, whether they're talking about passages in Genesis or in the prophets or in the Gospels or in Revelation. You can see how the details fit together when you have the big picture.
You know, I love that illustration, and it's just a perfect illustration, which everybody can basically understand. They've seen either they participating and putting the puzzle parts together. I've never done that. I'm too not patient enough to be able to handle that, but I've watched people do it, and it's a beautiful thing, but they do have that picture on the cover of the box where all the parts were located, right there in front of them. I've sat in on some of the times when you've taught this particular subject, David, and you always introduce dispensationalism. Now, that sometimes could be a bad word in our world today, but why is this important in understanding the overall big picture?
Well, dispensationalism is simply a system of theology that is based upon a literal understanding of the Scriptures. So dispensationalism is where we end up if we handle the Word of God as the Word of God. And so dispensationalism is simply recognizing that God does things in His program in different ways at different times. And the fact is, really, whether they accept it or not, everybody is ultimately a dispensationalist. If they weren't, they would still be bringing sacrifices to worship God. And so we know that there were the time when there were sacrifices, and now there's not. There was a time before the fall, and things were much different than they are now. We know that Christ is coming in the future, and the time will be different. Things will be different then. So whether you see two, three, or four dispensations, even if you don't agree with dispensationalism, you see that God does things in different ways at different times. And we need to understand this, because if we don't, then we'll misinterpret and misapply the Word of God. So, for example, promises that God made to Israel in one dispensation, if we try to apply them in this dispensation of the church, then we're going to have really serious problems.
Well, the three components of dispensationalism, as I understand them, would be the fact that we translate the Bible literally. We say that there's a difference between Israel, the Jewish people, and the church. There's a difference between the two. And the fact is that our ultimate goal is to glorify the Lord. Would you agree with that? And if that be the case, why is there a concerted effort to try to go after the dispensationalist?
Well, I would agree 100% with that. I think Dr. Charles Ryrie may have first put that down as the three essentials of dispensationalism. You know, it's difficult to understand why there's such this attack on dispensationalism, except for the fact that it ends up diminishing God's people, the nation of Israel. Those who attack dispensationalism say that national Israel has no future in God's program because they have rejected their Messiah. And then they say that the promises that God made to national Israel of a land and someone to sit on the throne of David, and they say that those are being spiritually fulfilled in the church. And when you attack, really, whether theologically or literally, God's people, then you've got problems. And it's a war that Satan is waging against God to diminish God's program for the nation of Israel.
Well, you were talking about those covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the Jews will be a nation forever, the land covenant, they'll have a piece of real estate, the Davidic covenant, which you talked about, God will have Jesus sit on his throne in Jerusalem in a temple, and the new covenant. If the Lord can break those covenants to the Jewish people, he could as well lie to us about eternal life and salvation, could he not?
You know, that's exactly right, and I often use that illustration. You know, one of the things that people sometimes think is that theology is a dry subject and it's hard to apply things in the Old Testament, but that's exactly what I tell them. If, for one thing, Israel's future is just as certain as our salvation, and our salvation is just as certain as Israel's future, because God is a covenant-keeping God, and we see that over and over in the New Testament, and he promises that even if Israel turns their back. It's built into the Davidic covenant. Even if Israel turns their back and sins, that he will not remove his love from them.
You know, David, I'm sure that at the course you're going to be teaching at the School of Prophets LBU conference in Shreveport, February the 24th to 28th, you're going to talk to us about a lot of God's plan that has already taken place and is now considered history. But there's yet a lot to be fulfilled in the future in God's plan throughout the ages.
That's absolutely right. And we understand, and you and I agree on this, that the next event on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, where those who are believers in Christ, both alive and dead, will be caught up to be with him in the air. And then, shortly after that, will be the rise of the Antichrist and the signing of a seven-year covenant with the nation of Israel. And that will be the time of a great tribulation period spoken of in Daniel and Revelation and Matthew 24. But then at the end of that, after God's judgments against the earth and people who have rebelled against him and the Antichrist, Christ will come to the earth, touch down on the Mount of Olives, bringing his church, us with him, and then he will establish his kingdom of righteousness for 1,000 years. So there's a tremendous amount that is yet to be fulfilled, and really exciting things when we get into the millennium, and tragic things for those who are listening who don't know Christ. If they face the tribulation, there comes a point where half of the world's population dies as a result of those judgments.
Wow. Wow. Folks, if you've been eavesdropping on this conversation, you can better understand why it's key for you to have an understanding of God's plan throughout the ages. Salvation, redemption, it is very important. It's the heart of God. But he has an overall plan through which redemption, the plan, the work of redemption, does take place as well. May I suggest you do not want to miss an opportunity to hear David teach this course. Now, you can do it by personally coming to Shreveport, February the 24th to 28th, and David will be teaching the course, God's Plan Through the Ages, or we're going to have that on live streaming audio as well. For more information and how you can be a part of this conference, either there in person or through live streaming audio, go to our website, prophecytoday.com, and there you'll be able to find out more information or call our toll-free number, 877-674-3298. You need to be a part of this upcoming conference. And David, I'm sure that I want you to be a part of it, so fly safely as you come back, and we'll see you in Shreveport.
Thanks so much. See you soon, Lord willing.